Here at Cambridge 105 Radio, we're super excited to be the media partners for this year's Velvet Food and Drink Awards. There are 8 categories, including Farm Shop or Deli of the Year, Best Street Food and Best Restaurant. To see the full list and to nominate your favourites, search Velvet Food and Drink Awards. Nominations close on Wednesday, May 31st. And join us live on June 30th for the Gala Awards Show, hosted by our own Steffi Callister.
Cambridge Breakfast with Club Cycle Cambridge, the city's newest indoor cycling studio. Find out more at clubcyclecambridge.co.uk.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
A 100-year-old tree on Hills Road is under threat because its roots could be damaging a neighbouring property. You may feel you've heard that story before. We told you about a similar case on Sturton Street a few weeks back. Should we save our trees or protect our properties? Well, hopefully we can do both. Here's Wendy Blythe. She's on the line for us this morning. She is chair and lead on strategy, events and conservation at FECRA. That's the Federation of Cambridge Residents Associations. Morning to you, Wendy.
Good morning. Nice to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to speak to you. I haven't spoken for ages, so really good to have you on this morning. This is sort of a juggling act, really, isn't it? On the one hand, we don't want to lose any tree, well, particularly not one which is 100 years old. But at the same time, we don't want damage done to properties by their roots. How do we square this little problem?
Well, I think we have to think about the fact that if you look at the planning portal and the comments on this, everybody feels that this has not been properly looked into, that this seems to be a very easy way out for all these insurers to come up with these reports rather than addressing other issues about house structure, soil moisture, et cetera, et cetera. This seems to be incredibly easy for these insurers to come up with these kind of risk aversion reports, which frankly our trees are paying the price for. And I would say that trees in Cambridge are really part of the crown jewels. They are, they are the family silver.
It is interesting. I saw the story, it was in the Cambridge Independent yesterday. I thought, well, hang on a moment. I just covered a story like this, fairly close to our studios on Sturton Street, where, to be honest, it feels like exactly the same story. You have a situation, in this case, the trees on St Matthew's Piece, which is that little green area by the old Howard Mallard Centre at the top of Sturton Street. Over the road, there is a property where the insurer is raising a similar issue.
Yes, no, I think you're absolutely right, Julian. I think our trees feel they're under attack. We have a sense that this is happening all over the city. And to be honest, this kind of report puts at risk every single mature tree in Cambridge. We've got to make a stand somewhere,
Do we know if the insurance, and obviously they're not here to defend themselves, but do we know if the insurance companies actually sort of come out to have a little look, or if they're doing it from the comfort of their offices?
Well, I imagine they must have made some kind of visit, but what people are asking in particular in reference to this specific tree is, how did the householder at was 248 purchased their house, they must have had a report made on their house where the big tree next door has stood for 100 years.
I have to say, it's fairly obvious. The further I've done a lot of this recently, but Mum's been in Addenbrooke, so I've been sort of walking up Hills Road, and it's straightforward. Generally speaking, the further you get towards Addenbrooke, the more trees there are. There's not a shortage of them.
But it's incredible. As our city gets hotter and hotter, and don't forget, Cambridge is the one of the hottest and driest cities in the UK. These trees are incredibly important. They give amenity, they give shade. They're a huge part of the city's amenity values, and that has to be taken into account. The other thing I would say is that City Council has received funding for increasing tree canopy in the city. They've actually received funding. There's a project, the City Tree Canopy Project. Well, I mean, it makes a nonsense of, on the one hand, we're felling our most beautiful trees, and we're also paying out money for little seedlings to you know, increased tree canopy.
Yeah, there's this plan, isn't there? I think it's part of the plan you're describing there, to put more trees around Parker's Peace, for example. But
yes.
Presumably to stop us from seeing the wheel or anything going on there.
Well, the other thing, Julian, is doesn't it make a nonsense the fact that, you know, Cambridge hosts the Attenborough Centre? You know, we've had the Centre of Wild Isles. And on the one hand, we're talking about, you know, nature, wild isles, biodiversity, you know, and these trees are huge sources of wildlife and nature and, you know, birds and invertebrates and bats in the city. And then we're also felling them, you know?
The curious thing about this one is that there's also, I gather, a preservation order on the tree. So this is sort of, things are coming at this from all sorts of different directions.
Well, yes, there is a preservation order on the tree, and that's another thing that campaigners have been raising, is that it makes felling, the proposal to fell the tree by the neighbours' insurers' report makes a nonsense of these tree protection orders. I mean, are you going to have to, if you've got a wonderful tree in your garden that's giving a huge, you know, amount of amenity, shade, biodiversity, and then your next-door neighbour gets a insurer's report and says, tough luck, mate, your tree's going to have to go. You know, what is this? Because we have a city that's full of these kind of trees. Mm. If you look down further down Hills Road, you've got the magnificent horse chestnuts. You've got another huge copper beech next to the Perth School. Are these trees on the list for the chop?
But on the perspective of the property owner, you know, this could be, is this more the insurance company not wanting to pay out to fix the problem, because presumably the person concerned, the property owner, they have to do something if part of their house or something is having subsidence as a result of the tree. Something has to be fixed, and if you're not going to fix the tree, you have to fix the house, and somebody has to pay for that.
Someone has to pay for that, that's right. And that comes down to the issue of who pays for this kind of issue. A lot of people are saying, if you look at the planning portal, that they're not very convinced by the comments made by the insurance company that this, the felling the tree, is the answer to the issues that have been raised. And they would like the insurer and the householder to go back and look at what other means can be used to address the issues that have been raised. For example, you know, has there been careful monitoring for a year of the ground levels, the moisture in the soil, structural problems of the house? There are a whole range. I don't want to go into all the technical details, but there's a lot of things that people feel haven't been properly thought through, and that really this is a kind of lazy insurer's report that just says, right, the tree, you know, because it's basically about trying to avoid liability. And that is the crunch. It's who's trying to avoid liability here, and are we seeing the best means of addressing the issues that have been raised? And a lot of people are saying no.
It's a very interesting issue, which I'm sure we'll come back to. Well, once we've got you, Wendy, I know you're, I think, part of the Friends of the River Cam. So I'm wondering what you think about the story this morning that water firms are saying that campaigners are, quote, right to be upset about the state of the UK rivers and beaches. They seem to have issued, well, one, an apology, and two, the promise of £10 billion to try and avoid putting so much sewage into our rivers?
Well, I think a lot of people, obviously, yes, I am very much part of this campaign to address the issues about water and sewage. I think we'll want to see a lot more detail about what's they're actually coming up with before we, you know, make any sounds about saying this is great, that they're doing the right thing. Because I think people are rightly quite cynical about water companies' claims to be putting their house in order. We have a lot of issues in Cambridge about water and sewage. You know, there's a huge development programme, and frankly, this is the driest region in the UK. I don't think people are most aware that actually requires, this is a statement in the Natural Environment Framework summary, that actually requires 50% of national public water supply to address the targeted growth of this area. You know, we are running out of water here. And that has a big impact also for sewage in our river, because basically our chalk streams are running on sewage. which is not very nice.
No, absolutely not. It's the one for the virtual breakfast table, if ever there was one. Thank you, Wendy. Much appreciated. I have to say, and I know you're absolutely right about Cambridge being one of the driest places in the country. You would not know that over the past few weeks, but I know it is. You are absolutely right.
Some practical things, and also things like, you know, I think people feel very cynical when they're told to, turn off their hose pipes, don't water their, you know, gardens, etc. And then they see, you know, like huge hotel applications being passed with lots of power showers and etc. You know, it's a kind of, it's like with the trees, you know, on the one hand you've got the increasing tree canopy, and yet the other hand we've got these insurance reports saying felling your trees. You know, we've got to get our messages right. Right, you know, about this stuff. And for example, you know, we ought to be telling householders not to concrete their front drives, you know, planting. We should have rainwater gardens, you know.
I think we kind of forget that things were like they used to be for a reason sometimes. You know, we're all in favour of progress, but I'm also in favour of people being sensible sometimes. Wendy, yes. Thank you so much for speaking to us this morning on Cambridge Breakfast. And so Wendy Blythe, she is chair of the Federation of Cambridge Residents Associations. I should probably mention to you, if you want to take a look about that application about the tree, then greatercambridgeplanning.org, and I'm going to give you the number 23/496/TTPO is the reference for that, and you can go and look it up. It's 9:15. Let's see what's happening on road and rail.
Cambridge Breakfast
with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105.